Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with Professor Serhii Plokhii. His new book is Nuclear Folly, A History of the Cuban Missile Crisis. It is 1962. The White House is informed there's a red line and it's been crossed. The White House is seeking an answer. But why? Why did Khrushchev do this? As Kennedy says in his first blush of analysis, he doesn't gain anything from this. He can wipe us out with his ICBMs. He doesn't need to put medium-range or short-range missiles into Cuba. He certainly doesn't need them to put them in the hands of Castro's regime. So why? Turns out that Khrushchev himself had this idea during a trip to Bulgaria in the spring of 1962. What is Khrushchev's mind at this point, Professor?
Well, Bulgaria was not an accident, because in Bulgaria he was talking to rallies that were organized for him by the communist leaders of Bulgaria, pointing across the Black Sea from Bulgarian port city of Varna toward the Turkish territory, where a few years earlier the U.S. installed the ballistic missiles, nuclear-armed ballistic missiles, called Jupiters. And idea came to him to put an equivalent of Jupiters to Cuba, next to the borders of the United States, and, as he said, allow the Americans to taste their own medicine. Why he was doing that? Because despite his bluff, the Soviet Union at that time, in 1962, had no more than five or six intercontinental missiles, ballistic missiles, that could reach the territory of the United States. While the United States at that time was building, and more than that, was deploying the Minuteman missiles that could hit the territory of the Soviet Union from Montana, from the American Midwest. Khrushchev had nothing to no missiles to respond to the challenge that was posed by Minuteman. So this balance in terms of the missiles and the number of missiles and the kind of missiles that they had, the so-called missile gap, was there. But unlike Kennedy claimed during his presidential campaign that the missile gap was in favor of the Soviet Union, in reality, the missile gap was in favor of the United States. Khrushchev knew that, and Khrushchev wanted to deal with that by putting his intermediate missiles and medium-range missiles on Cuba, from where they could reach Washington, they could reach New York, they could reach good part of eastern United States.
These missiles are called technically R-12s and R-14s. NATO called them sandals for the R-12s, skiing for the R-14s. One has a shorter range than the other, and they reach well into the United States, Washington, D.C., certainly from Cuba. The first secretary, Mr. Khrushchev, has this idea, and when he returns to Moscow, he puts it in motion. It becomes Operation Anadir, and he's looking to draft the Soviet missile forces that he spent a great deal of money on. It's taken money from the military, the army, and the navy, and put it into missiles. He needs somebody to command this unit, however. And here, Professor, I puzzle. He points to a very famous cavalryman, Pliev of North Ossetia. Why did he choose the cavalrymen to lead what is essentially a nuclear missile strike force?
Well, that was the question that the commanders of the missile units that were shipped to Cuba were asking themselves. and asking their commanders. And Khrushchev provided explanation later, decade later, at least in his memoirs. And the explanation is that he expected that there can be an American invasion of Cuba, and that having missiles alone was not enough, that he needed infantry, he needed other troops that could protect his missiles in case of the American invasion. So for that, he needed a person who had some experience in commanding troops of different kinds, not only missile troops, but also infantry and others. And Pliev made name for himself of acting in cooperation, in coordination with the tank formation. So he was the commander of the cavalry units, but they were working together with tank units during the Second World War. So this 19th or maybe 18th or 17th or 16th century military technology of horses with the 20th century tanks. And that was one reason. Another reason that Pliev just showed how loyal he was to the Communist Party and to the Communist leadership. On the orders from Moscow, a few months before his deployment to Cuba, he used tanks to crash the popular uprising in the Russian city of in one of the Russian cities in North Caucasus. And recently, the Russians made film about that. There was bloodshed. So he was someone who didn't hesitate to follow and fulfill whatever orders he was getting from Moscow. So those two factors really contribute to this very unorthodox choice by Khrushchev to send a cavalryman to Cuba, who was also, by the Soviet standards, already quite aged, and most importantly, was in poor health. But he was loyal, and that's what mattered the most for Khrushchev.
The deployment of a large number of Soviet troops was unknown to the White House at the time. And in fact, the professor begins his book by saying how shocked Robert McNamara was to learn that the Soviet deployment was nearly 50,000 troops on the island, mentioning that now because invasion was always on the mind of the Presidium and of the White House. A military invasion, Op Plan 312 it was called. The Joint Chiefs were always ready to follow airstrikes with a ground invasion. What we know now is that would have triggered events that are catastrophic to imagine. It wasn't just one brink they were coming to. They kept coming back to the same brink because they had nukes, tactical nukes, strategic nukes, nukes at the ends of air-to-air missiles, nukes everywhere. Now we come to what it is that they're going to do to send these missiles, the R-12s and the R-14s. You spend a wonderful time telling the story from the point of view of the Soviet soldiers who were deployed in these ships to sail to Cuba. They didn't have any preparation for the weather or the conditions in Cuba. For example, they believed that they could hide the missiles under the Cuban canopy. They also believed that they could suffer this tropical climate. Neither were accurate. They were overwhelmed. And they had poisonous food. They had poisonous trees. These were very brave men who toughed it out. Is that all well known? Has this all been explicated before, that they were so uninformed of what they were going to in Cuba? If any of them had been allowed to apprise the conditions in Cuba, they would have spoken out immediately saying, we can't hide our missiles and we can't survive.
The story of Soviet deployment to Cuba is told by me on the basis of some already known sources, but others are the sources that I was the first historian to really tap and use. Those were the KGB reports that are now available in the KGB archive in Kyiv. And those are the reports of the KGB officers that accompanied the Soviet ships that were going to Cuba. Most of them were going through the Ukrainian ports, through the Black Sea ports, and ended up in the Ukrainian archives. And they tell really the story of secrecy. They also explain how the Soviets were able to put on the island more than 40,000 troops when the American intelligence, CIA, and beyond that, believed that there were only 10,000, and that was by putting people really in inhuman conditions, where they were in this overheated twin decks, again, allowed to go and breathe fresh air only when they were in the middle of Atlantic and only during night. And they were not prepared on many levels. We think about the Cold War today, and we think about the Soviet Union as a global power, as a power that would be present in one way or another in Vietnam or in Africa. But all of that came already after the Cuban Missile Crisis. This trip to Cuba was the first time that the Soviet either Navy or the Soviet troops or the Soviet missile units were put outside of the familiar habitat of Eurasia or Europe. So they were not prepared to the either people or the Navy ships or the submarines in particular were not prepared to function in the tropical or close to tropical conditions. When they landed in Cuba, they found out that the frequency for their electricity was different, so the radios couldn't work and couldn't function, and so on and so forth. And it's really really heroic deed on their part, not to say, okay, we're giving up, we're leaving. They didn't do that.
We're going back to the White House because during the week of the week after the discovery of the missiles, there are twists and turns that include the fact that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, especially the Air Force, are challenging directly the credibility of President Kennedy. We will see that the U.S. is not moving in one direction. There are several choices, and the president is the only person who can sort this out, and yet he is reluctant. He changes his mind. The book is Nuclear Folly: A History of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Serhiy Plokhii is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.